Good morning and welcome to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm your host, Kathleen Sabo. On September 4th of this year, the city held the first of two planned public meetings to present information about and hear public comments on the proposed development of the Rio Grande Bosque as part of the Rio Grande Vision portion of ABQ The Plan. Hundreds of people turned out, the majority of whom, according to multiple news and other sources, were of the opinion that the Bosque should be left alone. Yesterday, the city announced via news release that the second public meeting, originally scheduled for September 18th, had been postponed, quote, in order for the staff to analyze the comments and to study and incorporate some of the comments from last week's meeting, unquote. What does this mean for the proposed Bosque development? Well, we invited the mayor, the city planner handling the project, the head of Parks and Recreation, and several outside design and planning personnel involved with the project to appear on today's program. None were able to make it, but others were able to appear. So joining me in the studio to discuss the proposed Bosque development are Gail Garber, executive director of Hawks Aloft, and Michael Jensen, Middle Rio Grande projects director for Amigos Bravos. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for doing the show.
Absolutely. Michael Jensen, can you please tell us a bit about your organization, Amigos Bravos, and the role your organization is playing with regard to proposed development of the Bosque?
Yeah, Amigos Bravos is a statewide water conservation organization with a strong emphasis on social justice issues as they relate to the environment. And we are celebrating our 25th anniversary this year. Hoorah. We're based up in Taos. I'm down here in Albuquerque. And our involvement in this has developed slowly. I started becoming aware of what was going on in mid-2012 and became a lot more actively involved after we got details of what was being planned with that May document that was released to the public. And started working with a lot of other organizations.
Now, we've put a link to the Rio Grande Vision city's webpage on our call-in program webpage. And one of the things, if people go there, they'll see and they start looking at materials that the marketing slogan or the theme for the Rio Grande Vision is connect, protect, and excite. This appears on all of the documentation and on the website, as I said. So with that as the theme, why aren't more people in favor of this plan to develop the Bosque?
It's an awesome theme. I don't know anybody who doesn't like the idea of people being connected to the river in the Bosque, being excited about what we have here, and wanting to protect it. There's no problem with the slogan or the motto or whatever, the vision. But like everything else, the devil is in the details. And when the details were released in May, not very many people were happy with it anymore.
Well, we'll dig into those details in a bit. I first want to just talk with Gail Garber a bit. Can you please describe the mission of your organization, Hawks Aloft?
Well, our mission is to protect indigenous wild birds through avian research, conservation, education, and cooperation with others. And so we run research projects statewide, all focusing on birds as indicators, not just raptors, all species of birds. And we do education in the public schools. It's conservation education, not just bird education. We've been around. We will be celebrating our 20th anniversary next spring.
Well, congrats. And now to both of you on those longtime successes here. A visit to the Hawks Aloft website and a look at the site's blog reveals the headline, Protect Our Bosque from the Proposed Rio Grande Vision Plan. Why is Hawks Aloft taking an activist role regarding Bosque development?
That's a good question. Generally, we are not an activist organization. We believe that we provide scientific data to land managers so that they can make sound decisions. And we've been monitoring birds in the Bosque for 10 years, looking at avian abundance and species richness relative to different vegetation communities. And when we learned of the plan to install a 10-foot-wide hardened, probably crusher-fine path along the river's edge, we became very concerned, and our concern stems from watching the development of the Rio Rancho Bosque, which seems to us much like what the city plans, and watching the decline in birds there.
All right. We'll get back to that instructive, what's happened instructively in Rio Rancho. But I do want to let people know we're talking today about the proposed Rio Grande Bosque development. I'm here in the studio with Gail Garber, Executive Director of Hawks Aloft, and Michael Jensen, Middle Rio Grande Projects Director for Amigos Bravas. As always, if you would like to join in our discussion, there are several ways for you to participate. You may email comments to callinshow@kunm.org. You may post comments on the Collin Show webpage at kunm.org, or you may call our local number, 277-5866. That's 277-KUNM, or our toll-free number, 1-877-899-5866, with questions and comments. Michael, in looking at this issue in preparation and in talking with you and with Gail and others, I know there has been an evolution in the Bosque plan over time. What exactly is the plan for the Bosque that the city would like the public to consider at this point?
You know, that is a very good question, and that's a question that all of us have been asking, and it's a question that to date, despite multiple documents and meetings, I don't think anybody knows the answer to, because they started out with a concept document, and they had a public meeting after that. That was in late 2012, and you know, people had questions, but they were waiting for details. Exactly how are you going to implement this concept? And in May, they released the design and implementation document that looked like the entire Bosque on both sides of the river from Sandia Pueblo to Isleta Pueblo was going to have stuff done in it and near it. And that's when people got really upset. But when the reaction from the mayor's office and from the Decroparet Sabatini, you know, the design team, was no. This is still just a concept. Despite having extreme detail and what was going to happen in specific segments of the plan and budget numbers totaling $15 million for just phase one of the plan.
Well, what were some of those things that were costing $15 million?
Well, they were talking about building viewing towers and sticking them in the Bosque, you know, inside the levees in various locations. There was discussion of putting a this isn't necessarily part of the plan, but a restaurant up against the levee with viewing decks that extended out over the levee into the Bosque. They talked about boardwalks and trails and platforms on the river's edge, and, you know, signage and things like that. And the total that they came up with for just phase one was this $15 million. Phase two included much more expensive and, you know, things like pedestrian bridges going across the river. There were talk of about five, I believe, on that whole stretch. But the overall impression was that there was really no part of the Bosque that was not going to have stuff put into it. Artwork, you know, art installations inside the levees, you know, at some of the bridges, things like that. I mean, it was overwhelming.
Well, so what has the evolution been? Now, is there a smaller segment that they're asking people to?
In response to the really large amount of pushback and overwhelmingly negative opinions, you know, comments that were submitted by organizations and members of the community, that document was withdrawn. And until just before the September 4th meeting, when they released an updated version of that document and then said that all they were going to do now was a project from the Central Bridge to the I-40 bridge on the east side of the river. But they will not talk about any other part of the plan now. People have asked them at the meeting on September 4th, members of the Open Space Advisory Board who were briefed on this new project asked about what else was going to happen, and now they refuse to talk about anything beyond this little project, even though we know, because little statements pop out that they do have intentions of doing things beyond this little project.
Okay. If you would like to join in our discussion of the proposed Bosque development, you can call us at 277-5866. That's 277-KUNM. Or use our toll-free number, 1-877-899-5866. You may also email comments to collinshow@kunm.org. Tell us, what do you think about the proposed Bosque development? Now, Gail, we had someone call in who didn't want to come on the air, but this person comments, he's noticed that there are more birds in the urban developed part of the city, not in the Bosque. He'd like to hear your opinion.
I think that depends on where in the Bosque you are, because parts of the Bosque have high numbers of birds, including some of the Bosque within the city of Albuquerque, areas that are largely undisturbed by people that have dense understory vegetation can have really high numbers. And also in the village of Corrales, which manages its Bosque as a nature preserve, numbers of birds in some parts of their Bosque rival that found in the tropics, you know, with densities of 800 or to 1,000 birds per 100 acres, which is just astronomical. So, you know, and the other difference is that the birds in the Bosque tend to be the species that are more threatened. In the city, we see a large numbers of birds in many areas, but you see your common city birds. You see, you know, sparrows, house sparrows, starlings. You see a lot of doves. You see pigeons. You see crows. And Cooper's hawks.
Yes. Now listen, before we dig into Rio Rancho, why are the birds important? I know it's a simple, basic question, but why are the birds important?
Are the birds important in the Bosque? Or
yes.
Is that
or to us as humans?
I think that protecting all wildlife is important, not just birds. We use birds as environmental indicators of the overall health of their environment. And we study birds because birds are highly mobile. You know, they can fly. And which means that if an environment is to their liking, they can migrate there. They can move to that area. Also, if the habitat is degraded, they will leave. And it's a really cost-effective way to measure how an environment is changing. Additionally, a lot of the birds we find in the Bosque are the rare birds. You know, they're the willow flycatchers, the endangered species. You know, they're the birds that you wouldn't see in the city.
Has there been any attention paid to these endangered species with regard to this plan?
Well, actually, that's one of our big questions, is how has the city actually addressed acquiring the appropriate permits to develop within the Bosque? Because we actually, Hawksaloft does willow flycatchers surveys, and we have documented flycatchers in the Bosque, not during the breeding season, but during that migration season. And they're only found in the dense riverside vegetation. And the Corps of Engineers last year, put in willow swales up north of the Alameda Bridge. And this year, during my first survey period, I documented 15 willow flycatchers in one morning in one area, which that's astronomical for an endangered species. It's a bird that, even when I've done surveys in Colorado in prime habitat, I've never gotten that many in a day. So it shows that if you build it and you build it well, the birds will respond.
And now with endangered species, I'm sure there are processes that need to be followed under federal acts. Is that not
that,
so?
That's correct. And one of the questions we have for the city is, and for the Fish and Wildlife Service, is how are these being addressed? You know, what are the, you know, how is the permitting process affected by the presence of endangered species? In addition to birds, the silvery minnow is our other endangered species within that area. And I know that all of the Bosque, levee to levee, has been declared critical habitat for the minnow. And this would include areas that are not currently wet. So, I mean, my question is, how is that being addressed? I don't know the answer.
If you'd like to join in our discussion of the proposed Bosque development, there are several ways for you to participate. You may email comments to callinshow@kunm.org. You may call us at 277-5866 or our toll-free number, 1-877-899-5866. I'm here in the studio with Gail Garber of Hawks Aloft and Michael Jensen of Amigos Bravos. We'll take a short break. When we return, we'll take your calls and we'll learn about what happened in Rio Rancho.
Donating to Goodwill means keeping it local, accepting donations of gently used clothing, furniture, and more at locations across the state to support programs helping New Mexicans overcome barriers to employment. Online at goodwillit.org. A message from the tax-exempt Goodwill Industries of New Mexico.
Veterans of the Armed Forces, who are also UNM students, are invited to a three-day retreat September 20th to 23rd at a beautiful mountain location in northern New Mexico. Offered by UNM Student Health and Counseling, the weekend will include mindfulness instruction, confidential small group discussions, guided hikes, and group activities. For more information, call 277-7965. That's 277-7965. A message from the tax-exempt University of New Mexico.
Welcome back to the KUNM Collins Show. We're talking about the proposed Bosque development today, and I have just been handed by our guests a flyer just to make clear, even though the city's meeting on September 18th has been canceled. There is a community meeting. Is that not so, Gail? You'd like to just...
Correct. There's a rally being held at the same place at the Albuquerque Museum at 2000 Mountain Road Northwest at 6 o'clock.
And what's the goal of this meeting?
I think that, you know, it is to educate people about the Bosque. We will have birds present that live in the Bosque, and also to inform people about what could happen to our Bosque if they don't become involved, you know, so that people should know what's going on and they should know and value this treasure that we have. You know, the Bosque that we have is the largest cottonwood gallery forest in North America, and it would have been the largest in the world, except there's another one in Africa that is larger. So, I mean, this is a treasured space.
So the date is September 18th at the Albuquerque Museum, and the time is?
6 o'clock.
6 p.m. Well, right now on the line we have Tony Anella. He's the board secretary for the Aldo Leopold Foundation. Good morning, Tony. Are you with us?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, thank you for calling in. How would you like to add to our discussion about the foundation's thoughts about this project, please?
I would like to thank Gail and Hawks Aloft for the work that they are doing, because that is precisely the scientific-based analysis of the Bosque that any plan should be based on. Part of the problem with the mayor's plan is how is the process by which it's being done. You have landscape architects and planners, and they might be very good landscape architects and planners, leading the process, when conservation science should be informing the design process before, not after, the design process begins. At the meeting on September 4th, one of the things that the mayor's consultants from Decker Parrott Sabatini said is that the design drawings are to be 95% complete by January 2014. It's getting the cart before the horse. So I'd just like to applaud Hawks Aloft. Thank you.
Well, and Tony, thanks for calling. And you did write an op-ed, you and wildlife biologist David Parsons, to the Albuquerque Journal on June 13th. And you mentioned two very important acts, the enabling legislation for the Rio Grande Valley State Park, and then the Bosque Action Plan, 1983 and 1993. And really taking this science into consideration is something that's required under these acts and plans, is it not?
That is correct.
All right. Michael, you want to address that a little bit?
Thank you.
And thank you, Tony, for your call this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tony. There are a lot of things happening to the river and the Bosque that are not good right now. A couple of days ago, before we got a little bit of rain, the river essentially ran dry. They had 12 cubic feet per second just above the wastewater treatment plant, you know, before that water went back into the river. So they managed to get a little trickle down there, but in the heart of the city, the river was basically mud and a little bit of wet. And that's not a good thing. And yes, we want people to be connected to the river and we want people to be excited about the river, but you know, there wasn't a river to be excited and connected to.
And all this money's been spent,
yes,
already.
And there are other problems. You know, the river is contaminated with E. coli and PCBs, and so it's not a place that you want to swim, and it's not a place that you want to eat fish from if you go there to fish. And it seems to me and to a lot of other people that what needs to be done first is to have a river and a bosque that's connected to the river, and that connection has been lost in lots of places, that function as a real vibrant ecosystem before you start putting lots of things into it that, one, as Gail pointed out, can make the situation worse. They can drive animals and birds out of habitats that they've been in, and further decrease wildlife diversity. And if things get put in, like boardwalks along the river or viewing platforms, one of two things will happen. They'll either be an impediment to trying to manage the river for better flows, which has been an ongoing discussion, or those things will be damaged by efforts to create overbank flooding. And there is, frankly, no money in anybody's budget to repair those things if they get damaged. And that was admitted at the Open Space Advisory Board meeting I was at recently, when that question was raised by board members, what would happen if these get damaged? And the answer was, well, they'll just stay damaged until we can get money to repair them.
Okay, let's go ahead and bring in a caller from Albuquerque. It's Isaac. Good morning, Isaac. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Yes, go right ahead.
My question is, I'm a kayaker here in Albuquerque. I kayak probably once a week. I have to go north of the city most of the time. And my question is, there's federal stimulus money that in this Bosque project that they accepted to build kayak ramps that are inaccessible to the public. Why is that, and when is that going to be fixed?
All right, let's go ahead and see if one of our guests can take that question.
You know, I have been asked questions like that for as long as I've been working for Amigos Bravos, so going on more than 8 years. It is a concern of people who want to paddle on the river. On the other hand, I do know lots of people who paddle on the river through the city. So, you know, there is a new take-out point that the Corps of Engineers put in at the Central Bridge on the northeast side. There, among the many diverse voices of people who have problems with the plan, have been suggestions that some of these points that have hard or difficult access could be improved, and that would be an acceptable thing to do. But I think it's a fine line, because as much as getting out on the river when there's actually water flowing in the river is a really wonderful and peaceful thing to do, getting lots of people on the river could become another form of intrusion that could have negative impacts.
All right, let's talk about that a little bit, because we've mentioned Rio Rancho a couple of times. And tell us briefly what happened in Rio Rancho, what's going on, and how that's instructive, please.
Okay, well, this is what fueled a lot of our concern about the development plans for the Bosque. We monitor each of our transects is half mile long, and there we count all birds present that we can see and hear. And it each transect is surveyed 3 times per month, 6 months of the year. So we capture summer and winter resident data. And so we were watching Rio Rancho, as we were all of the Bosque. And in 2006, they went through and did some clearing, and they removed all non-native vegetation. So we saw a decline in birds relative to that. And then numbers, as the vegetation regrew, those numbers bumped back up. And then between 2008 and 2009, they installed a 10-foot-wide crusher-fine gravel path right along the river's edge. And actually, it's a loop trail that goes all the way around the Willow Creek Bosque. And we have watched numbers since that decline from an average of 700 birds per 100 acres to fewer than 200 birds per 100 acres. Often you have that many birds in a parking lot. So that's, you know, that's an average. That's really, really low numbers. And we really believe that it's caused by this exponential increase in people that occurred after they put in the crusher fine trails, and also the dogs that belong to the people, because the Rio Rancho Bosque now has this huge problem with off-leash dogs running through the understory vegetation. And so really, when you look at that bosque, all you see are birds really using the overstory. You know, you see birds like house finches, you see flycatchers, not willow flycatchers, but you see ash-throated flycatchers and other birds like that. And you see a white-breasted nuthatch, birds that can use the canopy because there's no disturbance up there. But the birds that would use the understory are gone.
Have they migrated to Albuquerque?
Well, I don't know where they've gone. And I know that's one of the things that a lot of people think about, is they think, well, can't the birds just go somewhere else? But you reach a point where there is nowhere left for birds to go.
Well, and they have migratory patterns and things that they're used to over time as well. But one of the questions I had to you when we spoke in preparation, and you said other people had asked, could the decrease in Rio Rancho be attributed to drought?
Well, that's a really great question. And we actually wanted to know that. So we ran the numbers for Rio Rancho Bosque birds, and we ran the numbers for all the other areas that we survey, including Albuquerque, MRGCD lands, and everywhere else. And so everywhere else, we do see a slight dip in the birds. We see a dip of maybe 100 birds from 700 birds down to 600 birds, and that's relative to drought. But in Rio Rancho, you're looking at a steady, steep decline that is not coming back. And then we also looked at the number, the habitat types that are present in Rio Rancho and numbers of birds present there relative to the number of birds in the similar habitats elsewhere in our survey area. And we find that no matter how you look at it, the number of birds in Rio Rancho is dramatically lower than everywhere else. As a matter of fact, based on our 2012 data, the number of birds present in the Rio Rancho Bosque in the open area is lower than monotypic stands of salt cedar. So salt cedar, of course, is the habitat that everybody considers to be the scourge of the
invasive,
West.
Invasive, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And here we have Rio Rancho in their bosque, and they have fewer birds than salt cedar does.
Now, can people find out more detailed information about this on the hawksaloft.org website?
Yes. If you go to our blog, we have currently up just the Rio Rancho numbers, but by the end of today, we also will have up the comparison between Rio Rancho and all of the other areas.
Great. Let's go ahead and bring in our next caller. It's Claudia from Albuquerque, who wants to talk more about this subject, the effect of human noise on birds. Good morning, Claudia.
Good morning. And in fact, that was one of my questions. I have two briefly. One is, I'm a volunteer in the Nature Center, the Native Plants Garden, and we work there by the fence, by the trails, and over the diversion ditch or the ditch, there's the Paseo del Bosque. And working in the garden in the mornings, I hear all of the noise of the people talking as they bike up and down the trails. People know that human influence interrupts bird life, but in fact, nobody talks about how it interrupts the bird life. and noise is a biggie. Is that correct, Gail?
That is correct, and that's a very good observation. And as a matter of fact, when I do my surveys, because I'm the surveyor in the Rio Rancho Bosque, part of my transect is out in the river, and I am in a dense willow stand, and I cannot see the trail. And I can still count all the people based on the footsteps that crunch with every step, and they're talking. And they're also whistling and calling their dogs. And some of the birds that nest and use these areas have very quiet calls. They're very difficult to detect. And a bird like that would have difficulty perhaps in attracting a mate and communicating with a mate. Birds, as we know, have not just the songs that you hear on the CDs that you learn to listen to bird songs, but they have a whole vocabulary, just like we do. And they have communication calls and other things where they're talking to each other. And if there's an overwhelming human noise, they cannot hear each other and they cannot communicate.
Now, we're not necessarily talking about reducing what's currently going on in the Bosque, but aren't there plans to bring in parking areas and other things that would create more noise? Go ahead, Michael.
That's one of the issues that people are concerned about, because if you looked at some of the initial concept documents, and even in the design and implementation document, there was a discussion of things not just between the levees, or you know what constitutes the boundaries of the Rio Grande Valley State Park, but also just outside the levees, or as close to the levees as you could get. A lot of things like restaurants and a food truck court and things like that, and additional parking or modifications to existing parking, and that will intrude into the edge of the Bosque. And excuse me, I wanted to sort of follow up a little bit more on the answer to the person who was concerned about paddling and access. I think that we walk a really fine line with what we have here in Albuquerque with the Bosque and the river, because it's not just another urban forest. The design team, when they first got together, created what they called a research and analysis document. And in that document, the first thing that they highlighted was that what Albuquerque has is a wild place. And they looked, and they couldn't see any other place in the United States that was any other urban area in the United States that was like that. And a teacher here recently engaged his students to go on Google Maps and look at least 100 cities in the United States, and they couldn't find anything that was like what we have here. So the design team from the very beginning, the teacher was Charles Buxbaum, so kudos to him and his students for getting engaged. But from the very beginning, the design team knew that what we had here was a really unique thing. And so what we're dealing with is not just a city that has some forest in it. What we're talking about is a city on the edge of a wild place. And so talking about access, trying to maximize people getting into the Bosque, people getting to the river, using the river and the Bosque, that's a whole other discussion than if you were talking about the creation of Golden Gate Park in San Francisco or Central Park in New York City or even other urban forests like Rock Creek Park in Washington, D.C., things like that. We're talking about a really unique situation that has to be dealt with thoughtfully and slowly and carefully.
All right. If you'd like to join in our discussion of the proposed Bosque development, you may call us at 277-5866 or our toll-free number, 1-877-899-5866. In the studio with me are Michael Jensen from Amigos Bravos and Gail Garber from Hawks Aloft. You can also email comments to callinshow@kunm.org. When we get back, we have an email comment from David that we will get to. We'll join you again.
Bonnie DeFranco donated a pair of VIP tickets to her concert at the Chemo on Tuesday, October 15th, to encourage you to support KUNM before the pledge drive. Drawing happens October 1st at 5 p.m. Moab Folk Festival also donated a pair of weekend passes for the first weekend in November with David Lindley, Tom Russell, Eliza Gilkison, and more. Register for both drawings today by returning the card that was mailed to you or go to KUNM.org. Click Support This Station.
On the next American Radio Works documentary,
no two kids learn at the same pace.
Teachers struggle to give every student what they need. Some say computers can help.
I can have 30 different assignments if I wanted to.
Others are more skeptical.
We're still talking about what's essentially an experiment.
Listen for One Child at a Time, Custom Learning in the Digital Age, from APM, American Public Media.
Sunday morning at 11 on 89.9 KUNM.
Welcome back to the KUNM Call-In Show. We're talking about the proposed Bosque development this morning. I'm Kathleen Sabo, and we had an email comment from David. I'll go ahead and read it here. The Bosque is about 200 miles long. The way you people speak makes it sound as though it would be paved in its entirety. This is deceitful and disingenuous. The Bosque in Albuquerque belongs to all, not just those of you who live by it and consider it your backyard. Gail, how would you like to respond to that?
Well, actually, I don't live near the Bosque, but I still go there. And I do agree that it belongs to everybody. I think the problem with this particular plan is that the community has been largely excluded from the planning process, and that they haven't really they haven't used the science that exists based on the studies that have occurred in the Bosque, not just our studies, but also studies by Natural Heritage New Mexico and also by the Bosque Ecosystem Management Program. So there's been a lot of work done in the Bosque. And as far as I know, in the planning process, none of us have been included. So we've not had a voice at the table where we may have been a partner in the project rather than someone who just found out about it after they released their interim plans.
You know, for me, who comes to this issue sort of anew, I look to that Rio Grande, the Bosque Action Plan, and I see the requirements there that land use decisions shall be ecologically compatible and their ecological impact shall be evaluated prior to any surface disturbing action. The state park shall be managed to preserve and enhance its ecological diversity. So we're not just talking about perhaps about something that people want, but that's already been put into a plan. You want to comment, Michael, briefly, please?
Yes. At the federal level, if this was a federal project, the Clean Water Act would apply. They would have to do a NEPA process, National Environmental Protection Act process. And under federal law, you're not permitted to segment a project into little pieces in order to avoid an environmental review of the entire thing, which some of us think is what's happening now when they will only talk about this Central to I-40 bridge project and not about anything else, even though sometimes they slip out that they want that 10-foot-wide hardened trail to go to Montaño or maybe to Alameda, and they won't talk about what's on the west side of the river at all.
All right, let's bring in our next caller. It's Glenn from Hemis Springs who'd like to make a comment. Glenn, are you there?
Okay. This is Bob. I'm not sure who you want there.
No, that's okay, Bob. Go right ahead.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
You know, I agree with a lot of the environmental concerns, and when I started looking at this project, I first thought about it as a comparison to the balloon park that the mayor reformed when he took office. And I think there's some lessons from that for us for looking at this project for the Bosque, because it's basically about privatization, and this is a question of who benefits. And this is the kind of way that this type of politician that the mayor represents is to look at public assets and resources to try to figure out how to make money off of it for people in the private sector through the management aspect. And that's what I first saw when I looked at this and I hear the talk about management, because at the Bloom Park, when he took office, the idea was generated that, well, the Bloom Park is costing the city money. It's not productive anymore. So the mayor went through, a whole series of changes that was sort of done behind the scenes. And what we wound up with was an outside firm from Texas, I believe, that wound up managing the overall operation of Bloom Park. And what happened was the fees went up, but the attendance went down, because people could not afford to go to the Bloom Fiesta like they used to when it was more reasonable. And so this is, so the management sector made a lot of money off of this reform of it. And I see the same thing happening here with the Bosque. It's the Bosque is looked at as a revenue source for how money can be made by all these development features in there, and that these groups will then benefit from it. And that really impacts the public in terms of sustainability, the environmental aspects of it, because this whole plan is looking at it, and this is what they're not saying directly and coming out with a full plan, is it how much revenue is going to be generated from it, who's going to benefit from it. And that's their main, this is like crony capitalism. It's called privatization of public assets and resources, and it's been going on all over the country for a long time. And this is just another shoe dropping on that path. And what we can see very clearly is all the environmental damage that this kind of thing is going to be doing. But I think we ought to look at the political economic aspects of it, too, as we develop a critique of it. And so I just wanted to add that into it.
And, Bob, thanks very much for your call. We're going to bring in Glenn, who's going to piggyback on that. But one thing I just want to mention that I read about in preparation is how much money people are spending around the country to recreate wild habitat in cities. We already have one. That's just a point that I will make. Let's go ahead and bring in Glenn from Hemis Springs. Good morning, Glenn. You wanted to piggyback on a few things Bob said.
Well, I'm glad I was dropped. Bob was out of sight. This whole discussion is reminding me of yesterday's Living on Earth discussion. That I would encourage people to archive the first 15 minutes of at 8 o'clock, where in one of the think tank Republican people came on and was going on about the Republican way of looking at climate change, namely denying it, that humans have anything to do with it. And it seems to me the big concern, having lived in Albuquerque for 20 years, I joined this, is environmental, what we're doing to God's good creation for all of us, and that juxtaposed with money, money, money. And it kind of seems that Barry and Republican people not wanting to talk anymore, they need to be flushed out. And I hope people just keep pressuring, because it's a democracy, isn't it? Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your call. Let's go ahead and bring in Deborah next, who may have a different point of view. I can't tell quite. Deborah from Albuquerque, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Can you still hear me?
Yes, Deborah. Thank you.
Okay. Well, first I want to say I'm a native Albuquerquean. I was born and raised in the North Valley. And when I was a child, I could walk to the river. And I can tell you that it's changed so much. And it's been so destroyed. It's really... I think any more development would just totally destroy it. It isn't, you know, this isn't a park where people go and play. It's a wild area. We should respect the animals that live there. And I've seen a lot of damage just because of the bicycle path. Now, I was a bicyclist, and I thought it was a wonderful idea. And I agree with Glenn and Bob, so I'll say my major point is what I see is a lot of people down there do not control their dogs. And I see these dogs chasing the birds, chasing after, you know, other people and stuff. And I think it's just too much. It's an overload. We need to leave it alone. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah, for your comment. I'd like to, we'll get your comments, Gail and Michael, but let me just read an email comment from Brian, who says, infrastructure will help protect the bosque environment. We need better access to the bosque to help emergency vehicles to fight wildfires. Also, the plan is designed to draw visitors to the city, visitors that may want to bring business to Albuquerque. Go ahead, Michael, you go first there. We've got a lot of viewpoints.
Yeah. This is also an opportunity to address the previous caller's contention, I guess, that enviros are elitist, and we already have a lot of facilities that people can that already have access to. We have running from north to south. You know, we've got the Open Space Visitor Center and the Bacheque Open Space Center and the Los Poblanos Farms and the Nature Center and all of the facilities around the biopark, the aquarium, the zoo, the botanic garden, which has a new Cottonwood Gallery. They took a city park and they turned it into an exhibit to show people what the historic bosque look like with some wetlands and grasslands and cottonwoods. We already have what they want to put into the bosque to interpret for people, and it's right there at the site of this I-40 to Central Bridge project. We've got coming up farther down south in the South Valley this incredibly awesome opportunity with the Valle de Oro National Wildlife Refuge, the first urban refuge in the Southwest. We have parks that abut onto the bosque. There are lots of trails. There are access points for paddlers. We have lots of things. And the question, it seems to me, that the mayor and his staff and the consultants should have been asking is, given the fact that we have all of these things, if people aren't being excited and aren't being connected, then what's wrong with them? What can we do to fix them, to make them function better, rather than spending money on something that is so offensive to so many people in the community? That it seems to me that they started off asking the wrong question and they arrived at the wrong place.
You're saying there are already things that draw people to the bosque.
The place that's the most visited place in the city right now already is that area where Tingley and, which I forgot to mention, Tingley and the biopark area. So there are already huge numbers of visitors that come there, and there are opportunities for them to, like this new Cottonwood Gallery, to see what it is that's happening without having to stick it into the thing that we all need to protect, that they acknowledge as a wild place.
All right. Gail, you'd like to comment on everything we've heard.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to comment on Tingley because not on the actual part outside the levee, but the part within the bosque, which was an Army Corps of Engineers restoration project. And they installed those two big ponds that are there that are home to a lot of wintering waterfowl. But one of the pluses for that is the Corps of Engineers put in this beautiful marsh south of that that receives almost no visitation by people, because it's wet. It's hard to walk in the water. And the bird numbers there have grown exponentially.
Where is that marsh?
It's just south of those two ponds in Tingley Beach area.
But not on the road, but in
the bosque. It's in the bosque.
Okay.
And we have Virginia rails, and we have all of these incredible birds that you almost never get to see that have responded to the Corps of Engineers project. One of the concerns from us, for Hawks Aloft, and I think for many others, was the plan to put the 10-foot-wide Crusher Fine Trail right along the river's edge with viewing blinds and viewing stations. And our river is home in the wintertime to large numbers of wintering birds. Sandhill cranes roost here in large numbers, in part because they're in a city where there's no hunting allowed. These are hunted species, so they know that they're safe here. And when you come upon cranes roosting in the river, if they see you, they will leave immediately. They take off. The same with sandhill cranes or with Canada geese and other things. The other animal that nests or that winters there in good numbers is the bald eagle. And anyone who's been out looking and seen a bald eagle, they roost in the trees immediately along the edge of the river. And if you approach one, you can't get within a quarter mile before they take off. And those birds will all be gone because with a highly developed path with people all the time, there won't be a place for them to be where they can be away from people.
Well, here's a question from a listener, KK. Is there anything about the plan that you would approve or endorse?
Yeah, I think bringing more people to the bosque is a good idea. And I think promoting what we have is a great idea. I would like to see more time spent fixing the facilities that we already have and bringing people to those. And one of the things that I like and Hawks Aloft would endorse is in terms of bringing more people to the bosque, spending money on buses and bringing every fifth grade student in the city to the bosque on an annual field trip.
Now, one of the larger plan portions has to do with transportation and rapid bus transportation on Central. So you could probably see that sort of coalescing together, could you not?
Well, I don't know how many of the schools would do public transportation, but providing money for school buses. We do that. We work with inner city schools and we take kids to the bosque. And we can only do that because we pay for the buses.
Okay, let's go ahead and bring in David, who's been on the line for a while. David, you have a brief point you'd like to make?
Yes, I do. Thank you very
sure.
much. Most of what I wanted to talk about was covered, but I want to speak to, I think it was the caller who wanted the bosque to be open more or less to anybody to do whatever they chose to do, and point out that we, you know, we are a nation of laws, and there is a law that established the Rio Grande Valley State Park. It was passed in 1983. You mentioned it in your introduction. And that law has establishes a policy for the bosque, and that policy is to preserve, protect, and maintain the natural and scenic beauty of what is now the Rio Grande Valley State Park. So that's been, you know, a declared purpose through a democratic process, which has been further addressed in the Bosque Action Plan, which you also covered. So I just wanted to point out that sometimes, you know, places have a higher purpose, and we have this beautiful bosque, which has been pointed out to be the only natural wildway through a major metropolitan area in the entire United States.
And yes, and thank you so much, David, for your call. Michael, you wanted to comment as a way
yeah.
of wrapping up
I
here
know,
today?
I know that we're running out of time. Some positive things that have been circulated in among the many people who are concerned about this that come out of the plan but haven't been highlighted are focusing on what we call portals, you know, the entry points, and locating, you know, signage and interpretive stuff there, but not doing anything beyond that portal. In other words, it serves as a reminder that we're on an edge of a wild place. And you can put everything like right at that Central Bridge parking lot, but not beyond that parking lot.
We're going to have to wrap up. I want to give okay. Gail an opportunity
yeah.
just to say some closing words to our listeners.
Well, I just want to thank you for having me here today. And please visit our website. And if you want to know anything more about birds, we have a feature called Hawk Talk. And you can ask any question you like, and we will try to answer it.
Our apologies to all those callers we did not get to today. Thanks to our guest, Michael Jensen of Amigos Bravos, and Gail Garber of Hawks Aloft for making themselves available to our listeners. Thank you to both of you.
Thanks,
and
Kathleen. Thanks
to our callers for helping to develop our discussion today. Thanks to our engineer, Roman Garcia, assisted by assistant engineer Jeff White, our assistant producers, Andy Lyman and Steve Emmons. Michael Hess has handled our phones today. Elaine Baumgartel is our executive producer. I'm Kathleen Sabo. This has been the KUNM Call-In Show on KUNM, news and music that connect from the University of New Mexico.